Okay. It's good to see everybody. We are in our third of four sessions on visioning and strategizing. Really excited to dive into everything that we're going to be looking at today. Before we do, a couple of housekeeping pieces. So the first is I made a little Facebook Live that I think some of you saw, I know some of you saw on a protocol for a first session. Not the protocol for the first session, because there's many ways to do a first session, but it's one. And so you can head over to the Facebook group and check that out if you haven't already. It involves visioning and just a little bit of belief work. You might find it interesting. The other piece, I don't know if LV is here. She is here. LV. LV, you requested a visualization for visioning, and I haven't done that yet, but I wanted to let you know it's on my list, and I will hopefully do it this week and share it with everybody. So that's coming for you. And then the last piece that I wanted to share is that some of you were at the last Art of Client Transformation retreat that I did. That's how I met some of you. And we're going to do it again. Another round of Sacred Depths is starting in the middle of July. And so I'm going to be offering that 3-day event. It is free for all of you. You'll get an email about it if you would like to attend. I would absolutely love to have you there. What can I tell you about it? A lot of the material is the same. But if you were there, you know it's, you know, we go deep and there's lots of different layers of integration. So if you feel called, if you've been there before, or you feel called, please come again. I would love to have you. If you haven't been, I recommend coming. And if you have a friend or a colleague or somebody that you know that would love that experience, I would love to, I'd be so appreciative, first of all, and also just love to extend a free invitation to them as well. So I'll send you information about that. If you have more than one friend, those of you that are there, you know I will share about the upcoming Sacred Depths, but you can also get a lot from it, even if you're not planning on signing. So if you have any friends that just would love this kind of work, please let them know about it. And I'll send you some emails about that. Okay. So with all of that, let's jump back in. So, we've already had two calls in this module. Our first call, we really started to dive into what is visioning? What does it mean to vision? What are the foundational principles, kind of, I don't know if this is the best way to say it, but needed or required for visioning? And we did some really good work around looking at visioning. Our call last week, we continued that conversation. We looked at different techniques we can use or things to consider when we're supporting our clients to vision. And then at the end of our call last week, we started to move into, okay, so that there it's one thing to vision, but it's another thing to actually execute a vision. And we started to look at what I call the energetics of new things, right? What, like, but a vision in one way or another is a new thing. It's either a completely new thing or it's a variation on something that was done before, but in a new way. And so understanding a little bit more about the energetics of new things, you know, for us as practitioners can really help us support our clients moving to move into new things. So today we're going to continue to look at that and then also move into strategizing. So once a vision is created and a client is ready to move into a new thing, how do we support them in creating a strategy to achieve it? So as we looked at last week, new things have a particular kind of energy to them. If we kind of use the seasonal metaphor, something new is spring-like, if you will, versus something summer-like or autumn-like or winter-like. And, you know, we kind of looked a bit at this idea that springtime is about excitement, right? Versus the persistent and consistent of the summer. And when we're supporting our clients to step into something new, being in some of that spring energy, that excitement energy, you know, this is new, you know, the curiosity, the like, ooh, you know, all of that is going to be helpful for them to be able to step in. That being said, and I'll take a step back. If you remember last week, we looked at like the difference, starting something new is also, we can think of it the difference, not to mix metaphors, but like the burst that the mother needs to like get the baby out. That's kind of like the springtime new project energy versus the day in and the day out of raising the children, which takes a different kind of endurance. So when our clients start something new, we want them to have some of that push out energy to be able to start it with. It sounds all fine and good, except of course, many times we don't feel this way about a new project. We don't have that excitement energy about a new project. And so let's take a look at some of the things that we might want to be aware of as practitioners that can stand in our clients' ways and in our own ways of being excited and ready, like having that spring energy to start executing the vision that we have, the vision that we created. There are a couple of things that can be in the way. The first thing is, I don't know it all yet. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't really know what the vision is completely. I have some ideas, but I can't see all the pieces, right? And since I don't know it all, I can't move forward. That's one thing that can be in the way. Since I don't know it all, I can't move forward. Take a moment and consider that for yourself. Have you ever been in a place where it's felt hard to take action on something, to move into something new, because a lot of it was in the mystery? You just didn't know. Elijah's saying every day. You know, it takes courage to wake up every morning and not know what the day is going to bring, right? And step in. So, yeah. Good. I'm seeing some of you are, yeah, you've been there. So here's a way that I find helpful to think about this obstacle, this I don't know it all yet. So I'm having resistance to stepping in, or it's hard to step in, or I'm scared to step in. Back to the seasons. So think about, we said new things happen in the spring. Think about the very early spring, not late spring, but very early spring. Very early spring is still wintry, if you will. Very early spring, there still is much dark as there is light. right? Until we hit the spring equinox is exactly as much dark hours, as many dark hours as many light hours. That beginning of spring, we can see things, but not clearly yet, right? We don't have that full light that we do in the summer. In the spring, we plant seeds into the ground, but those seeds are in the darkness. They're down in the deep, dark soil. You know, they don't have all the sunlight yet. And again, I won't try not to mix metaphors too much, but if we look at the birth metaphor, when babies are first born, they're partially blind, right? They certainly don't have all of their faculties and resources yet in the very beginning. So in other words, if we look to nature, we always begin in the mystery. That is how we begin. We begin in the mystery. And the mystery is exciting, but it can also be for some people very scary, right? For some people, it can be exciting, this limitless, not seeing what's possible, but knowing that anything can be created. And for some people, that can be scary. And for some people, it can be both exciting and scary at the same time. We can't totally see in the beginning. We don't completely know, maybe not ever, right? But for sure not in the beginning. We may not trust that clarity is going to come. We may not trust that it's going to work. So take a moment and think about a situation where you started something and it really felt like it was still in the dark or in the mystery. A relationship, a work project, a habit, a new home, right? Any new thing. Think of a time when you've started something and it was really still partially in the dark or in the mystery, and how that felt. All right, let's take this. I'll give you guys another moment. And Julie is saying your new home, new group coaching program, hell, all right now. Yeah. All right. So let's take this a step further. I'm going to give you a writing prompt. And the exercise is just write. I'll ask you to write down the prompt and then complete the sentence and then just keep on writing for about 2 minutes and just see what wants to come through. Don't edit. Don't think too much about grammar or sounding smart. Just really kind of see what wants to come through from this writing prompt. And the prompt is, starting in the dark feels like, and I'll put that in the chat as well. Starting in the dark feels like. I'll give you about 2 minutes. So. Take another half a minute. See what else wants to come through. All right. So what's coming together so far? Either we'll take a moment, read over what you wrote, either from the writing prompt or just the conversation so far. What's coming together? What are you seeing? What feels important? What do you want to share? Anyone want to share? Leah.
So what came through to me was interesting and kind of something else that came through in my coaching call yesterday or Monday was this, like, I'm in the dark there. It feels scary and overwhelming and exciting, and part of me trusts. And so I fully jump in and surround myself in darkness, and then I freak out. And I'm totally lost. I'm totally lost in the darkness. And that's part of the challenge, is that I see that big vision, or like I know it's over that way, but I can't find my way there. Yeah. It's sort of the realization of, like, how, you know, what I need is how to navigate the darkness, and what are those small steps or those things that I can relate, you know, grasp onto that might help me along the way. What do the walls feel like? That kind of thing is what I'm wanting to create for myself, is sort of more of that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That feels so related to what we're talking about. I'm so glad that that awareness is coming through. And I love those questions that you just asked. They feel like really good coaching questions for yourself, right? In any given situation, to, you know, write out the answers to those. Yeah. We'll look at some others also, but I think those are great directions for sure. Good. Thank you. Rose.
Yes. What I noticed was my judgment of the dark, and that as a creative, I know this place really well. You know, as a creative, you study, you go into the void, and in the void, and I always did as a creative, you know, these businesses I had, but it was not fun. You know, I would have moments of joy. And so that's the place. I'm no longer that person anymore. And so this place in the void, being in the dark, part of me knows I can trust because it's always come through before. But part of me also has an experience of this not being very joyful. And so that's the kind of shift that I'm in, is trusting. You know, and I see my clients who hate being in this place too. So it doesn't help that I hate being in it. So this is really relevant.
Absolutely, because energy follows energy, right? So your attitude is important, which is exactly one of the reasons we're looking at this. For many reasons, that's exactly one of the reasons why. So I'm hearing a couple of things that I think have some openings here, though. So number one, that you can trust it, right? That you know you've come through it before. You actually can trust it, right?
Yes. Well, and what I say to myself was, well, that was then, you know, when I would design a textile or go into that unknown or but this is different. This is people and feelings and coaching programs. And so I think I built the story that it's different, and it's not. Really not.
Beautiful. So you can apply your experience getting through this kind of phase before to where you are now. Right. So that's huge. I'm so glad that's coming through. And then there's this other piece about, well, I've done it before, but it hasn't been joyful.
Right. Moments of joy, of course, or I wouldn't have continued, but not the juicy stuff, you know, like I'm, yeah. So that's the part that I think there's this big opportunity for me to really explore the creative aspect of the unknown, you know? Yeah.
I love that. I love that kind of that looking in, you know, and I'm so hesitant about what I'm going to say next. I don't even know if I believe what I'm about to say next. I don't know. Everybody can check it out for themselves. Maybe it doesn't always have to be joyful.
Well, you know, everything I've read, you know, I know a lot of artists. I know a lot about the creative process. And I know there's that really scary place that doesn't feel joyful. And it's in the dark. And, you know, we've all been in these dark places. And so it's like, you know, as long as there's both end, you know, as long as I can hold both ends of the polarity, I'm okay.
No. I think that's a writer downer for you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. A writer downer. That's good. Okay. Hold both.
Thanks, okay. Rose.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kim. I was surprised at what I wrote in that it's quite negative, and that's not usually how I approach starting in the dark, but maybe I need to be recognizing that it also is there. I reflected that it felt like I was walking in a cave and never having certainty about what is right in front of me that I can't see. And it could be a huge chasm or a dangerous ooze or a dead end that I can't get past. But it never feels like I'm at choice. I'm submitting to everything I can't see. Mm-hmm. And that was, I don't know what that submission piece is, but it feels like it might be really relevant for me right now. But I think that's really hard, especially as I get older, I want more control. I think I used to trust that I could, everything would work out, I could figure it out. Now I wanna know. And I want to have some certainty, and that's been moving in me. And so it's funny that it just kind of came out in that writing.
Yeah, it feels even just the way you were reading it. It feels like there is something really important there for you to really understand more deeply and see. And yeah, I always feel like when an awareness comes through, there's opportunity then to shift it because you can see it more clearly.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, Lisa.
Yeah, I was surprised also by what I wrote because starting in the dark actually feels quite safe to me. I'm okay not knowing. I'm okay iterating and self-initiating and creating things organically. And I think I could hang out in my little tinkering cave, my dark little tinkering cave forever. You know, it's when the thought of like when the little sprout then needs to take its head out from the soil, like then it's like, that's when I freak out. You know, that's when So that was very interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that came through. That's really valuable information, right? To know when, because each of us relate to the different seasons in different ways, right? So that's great. I'm glad that came through. And I love all what everybody's sharing. It's, you know, it's good for us personally, but one of the reasons we also have this exploration is to understand kind of the range of what our clients might be going through too.
Yeah.
So we can better support them. Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Catherine.
This is interesting because I feel a little bit like Lisa just said, like on one hand, the dark is a very comfortable place, but I noticed this really interesting push-pull. So like the dark is comfortable, like I kind of want to stay there, but then I feel this fear of going forward, but I've done it in my life through sheer force of will. And so it's like, I'm comfortable in the dark, but I need to go out there. But I have to people tell me I'm like a bulldog because I just like, I'm super ambitious. And I'm like, you know, now I can look at it and be like, wow, I've really forced a lot of things. And it was interesting because I saw That was my birth experience. So I was born, they pulled me out with forceps. I'm told, I don't remember this, but I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting because that seems a lot like this. I kind of want to stay in, a little afraid to go out. So I got to be pulled out. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like, it feels important and an important metaphor for you, you know? And so there's so much there. There were two other pieces I wanted to pull out. Force of will, or how did you put it? What did you say? By sheer will?
Yeah,
by sheer force, something like that.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be negative or positive, right? In terms of how we relate to it, just tossing that to chew on, because there might be something there for you, you know? And then just a reminder to everybody, and it's to speak to what you and what Lisa was just saying, the very beginning of spring is in the dark, but by the time we're done with spring, there's a lot of light, right? So we want to also make that transition from the dark into the more of that clarity. Good. Okay. So we often need to start in the mystery. And as we've seen, you know, from some of you, that can be an incredible place to start. Dreaming happens in the dark. When we can't, you know, when everything is full clarity, there's a lot of, it takes up a lot of space. It can be harder to dream, but dreaming at night, when there are no boundaries, when anything is possible, that's something else. Sometimes it's also good to be in the dark a bit when we start something because we don't see how hard it is and all the things that it's going to take. Like if I knew when I got pregnant, all that it was going to take to raise a child, I don't know that I would have jumped in the way that I jumped in. Same with my business. So how can we support clients that might be having resistance to something new because of whether they realize it or not, not knowing it all yet, or fear of the dark? What are ways that we could support our clients if they've got a fear of not knowing it all yet? They've got resistance to starting something new because of that. Sharon.
Hi, I wasn't sure if you were asking for voice to voice. Normalize it.
Yes, and Rose wrote that too, 100%. I think that's so important, right? Like, it is so normal to, you know, have resistance to starting something because you don't know it all yet. And it is normal to start in the dark. We can't know everything in the beginning. We're not supposed to, right? So really creating awareness and normalizing around it can go so far. Beautiful. Good. Who else? What else can we do to support clients that might be in this position? What might we ask them? Think about questions. Anyone have any thoughts? What's a good question you could ask a client who is in this position? Heather's saying in the chat, it reminds of the energetics of the container, bringing awareness to the fact that they know best, that they have tools, yes, asking questions about tools, and that there is no wrong answer. Vesica's asking, let's see, have you ever started something you didn't know the steps yet, and it was amazing? It's a great question. Or when was a time? If you want to make it less of a yes or no, you could open that up. When was a time? What feels scary? So looking at the fears. Naomi's saying create space for them to be in that place rather than pushing them to move past it, no matter how hard it is. Yes, for some clients, that's going to be really important. Sonia's saying maybe a reality check. What's the worst that could happen? And then looking at how bad that really is. Nice. Bruce is asking, when was a similar time and what helped you move forward and what also held you back? Yes. Elvie's saying, what if the growth and clarity comes with the not knowing? Beautiful. These are great questions. A couple of others to think about. And this, I think Heather hinted at this as well, is to see what resources they do have. So what do you, may not know everything, but what do you know? Or a question like, how might it be a gift that you don't know it all yet? All right. Another obstacle that can often stand in the way of moving forward on a new thing is this. It hasn't worked before, so it's not going to work this time. I feel like that was even brought up already on last week. Somebody brought that into the conversation. It hasn't worked before, right? The marketing hasn't worked before, whatever it is, the relationship hasn't worked before, the trying to, meditate hasn't worked before, whatever it is, it hasn't worked before. So it's not gonna work now. And oftentimes when a client will say this, they won't say the second part of the sentence. They'll just say, well, it didn't work before, right? But really that whole sentence is, it didn't work before. And so I firmly believe, or I am worried that it is not going to work now. I just point that out because sometimes even just helping clients complete that sentence can create a lot of awareness around where their thinking is. When has that ever happened for you? Take a moment and think about that. Wanted to start something new, you've tried it before or a variation on it before and it hadn't worked. And then how did that feel to start it again? Maybe it was exciting for you for the challenge, or maybe it was like, ugh, it didn't work, I'm not gonna work again. Yeah, Anika's writing once bitten, twice shy. So, and then think about this. If you're working with clients, you can think about this with clients. If not, you can think about it really with anybody that you know. How has that showed up for clients? Didn't work before. It's not going to work now. What have you observed when it's shown up for someone else? Wendy's saying, it feels like having to get a bigger running start the second or third time. That can be a big place of resistance. Yeah. Kim is saying there's a holding back of energy just so that they can manage potential disappointment or regret. Yeah, these are, I'm so glad you're sharing all of these. Tend to get lost in your head big time. Sonia's saying, yeah. Good. Anyone want to share voice to voice what you're seeing in this so far? What you have to say about this, what you notice about this one? Anika.
Hi, everyone. I notice this, like what I said, once bitten, twice shy. It's in every aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. If something happens and the person reacts, I note it and I never go there again.
Yeah.
I am too afraid. And what I realized this past week, it's linked to that fear of rejection. Because it happened the first time, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to let it happen again. And that blocks everything because I'm just reacting out of that fear and
yeah.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. Why is it perfect that you're coming to this awareness right now?
I imagine so that I can help my clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else? What about for you?
Because I'm getting closer to a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. So the fears are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just seeing all my ways that I keep myself immobile.
Yeah. That feels right to me. Thank you. It's
scary though.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know.
Thank you.
Stephanie.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. I don't know if it's a tension between acceptance and maybe accepting that maybe it's not the right thing. You know, if I'm pursuing something where it feels like I'm putting a square peg in a round hole or the flow isn't happening and I'm trying to push through, like having that sense of do I need to come to a place of acceptance that this might not be the right thing or keep pushing through to get, feel a sense of accomplishment or at least I did it, but that doesn't feel good. So it's I'm just noticing that coming up for me in a couple of different life examples where I struggle with how much to move to a place of acceptance versus continuing to push through the scary stuff.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I've been there actually recently with something. And so how do you know the difference or how might you know the difference between this is just putting a square peg in a round hole and not meant to be, you know, like it's time to accept versus I might be holding myself back because of one of these fears.
Yeah. It takes me a long time to figure that out. And the knowing sort of comes through more of a visceral feeling. Mm-hmm. So tapping into like maybe the energy that I feel in my body. And if the energy is more in a flow, like I'm listening to that versus if the energy is causing me, I don't know, to feel sick to my stomach or so, you know, mm-hmm. But it's, I think I end up having this internal, like overthinking, trying to like figure out like, what is it? Is it this? Is it this? Why? And when I move from that head to either heart or and gut, like that's what I need to pay attention to is the heart and the gut. Yeah. That helps me know.
Yeah.
I'm saying this all out loud.
Yeah. No. That's exactly why I'm asking, right? That's such good self-knowledge to have, is that when you go into the overthinking, I mean, and sometimes you said like, it takes time, right? Like sometimes it is going to take time. You're not going to know right away, and that's okay. That's part of the process, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But what I think I'm hearing, tell me if I'm getting this right, is when you get out of the like churning it over in your head, mm-hmm. And into how does it feel in my body? And I'm adding this caveat, this may not feel true to you. So tell me, so long as you know the difference in your body between like a resistance because of fear that can be overcome versus it's just not right.
Yeah.
But the body is the place where you want for you, where you really want to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I was seeing a chat come through, like, how do you know, like, that quote of feel the fear and do it anyway, or like step into your fears. That's where I have a really, sometimes a big challenge. Cause like intellectually I get it, but then I start to have that inner tension, inner sort of fight with myself. Like, but if it's not feeling right, it doesn't flow. If it's not flowing, then yeah.
Yeah,
this is a really good conversation to help with just personal self-awareness, and then being able to apply that in service of our clients.
Yeah. 100%. And we're going to get a lot into fear in about a month. So we'll go more there, but I'm glad of all that's coming through.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So what are some things that we can do to support clients who are in this place of, I really want this thing, but it hasn't worked before. And so I don't feel excited about trying again, or I don't want to, or I'm scared. How can we support a client that's in that place? What are some of your thoughts? Leah.
I was just thinking that helping them to see what is different about this time rather from the last time, like what new skills do you have? What new outlook do you have? New perspective, whatever, that to just help them see the difference, because we're always a little different than last time.
100%. That's a real biggie. Like that's a really important piece, right? Because we're in maybe spring again, but the cycle doesn't just go around like this. It kind of gets hot, right? So we're in a different evolution of the cycle. And we are in a different place than the last time we tried it, right? So what is different? What have you learned since the last time? What resources do you have that either you didn't have last time, or you weren't aware of, or didn't know to make use of last time, right? Any types of inquiries and questions around that can really be supportive for a client. Good. What else? Jessica is saying in the chat, supporting them to clear the energy in their body of the past. Yes, if we have that tool, that's amazing. Dana saying, I would ask them what it would feel like in their body to do this thing and it working. So what would it feel like if you did this and it worked? And what would need to happen for it to work or to move forward with it? Beautiful. So kind of like a little bit almost back into the visioning piece, right? So visioning it with this intention that it is going to work this time. Raka saying, trust the process ourselves. Yeah, and you're having trouble accessing that right now. So Raka, I would say if any of these questions that are coming up appeal to you, I would answer those for yourself. Anyone else? How else would you support a client that was in this place? Another thing that you can do is reconnect your client back to their deep why. Why do they want this vision? Why is it important for them? What about it is exciting for them? How does it fulfill their, you know, their values, you know, whatever it is? What is really connect them back to their deep why? I know for myself, you know, even not when something is new, but even when something is long-term, when it feels hard, reconnecting back to the why is so vital for me, whether it's my business, a launch that isn't going well, you know, but I know I need to keep on going. Sometimes my marriage, sometimes I have to reconnect back to why I decided to have kids, right? Whatever it is, but coming back to that real heart place can really be helpful and generate that excitement. Also normalizing, there's some normalizing to be done on this one too, right? Normalizing that sometimes things don't work out the first time, right? Whether it's work or relationship or home or starting a new habit, whatever it is, that's actually a very normal part of the human condition. You know, back to kind of patriarchal messaging where it looks like everything always gets done on the first try, you know, like if you're on your A game, right? But that's actually not real life. I think a lot of work, a big piece of my work or a portion of my work is helping my clients remember or understand even for the first time what real life is like versus what life looks like in advertisements and, you know, media. Some things do not work out the first time, end of story, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to work out the next time. All right, anything else on this one? It didn't work before. Let's see. Oh, I haven't read that book, Jennifer, Immunity to Change. I'm gonna check that out. What is it about your current identity that you're worried about losing? Yeah, what's at risk for you? Beautiful. Maya.
Hi. Related to what you just said about the big why, almost the opposite. I feel that sometimes it actually helps to lower the stakes because I think people just get a lot of goals bundled up in one, a lot of wants, a lot of emotional connections. And sometimes the thing in front of you is just that thing. Mm-hmm. And sort of just talking around the fact that, you know, the black and white thinking and the fact that like the life will not end, the earth will not stop if there is going to be some kind of a failure. So,
yes. Thank you so much for bringing that in. So true, right? Sometimes it's, especially if something hasn't worked before, it's like we can create so many stories about our future success, our value, like all the things if it doesn't work out. And sometimes supporting a client to just like, just it's a thing. And if it works, great. And if it, you're all as well, no matter what. I love that. Thanks for bringing that in. Elvie's asking, would you bring up examples of people who have tried a few times and then succeeded? 100%. Elvie, so this is back. Remember in our creating awareness module, we looked at like sometimes personal story or stories of others is a great way of creating awareness, right? So 100%. I mean, I would bring up a story of when I haven't failed, when I failed myself, because I have many of those, right? But yes, you could bring up famous people. All I think there was, do you guys remember like 10 years ago, there was this video revolving about like Lucille Ball and Albert Einstein and Thomas Edison, all famous people who had like failed and failed and failed and failed until they didn't again. It was really inspiring. I wish I still had the clip, but anyway, probably if you Google it, it's out there and it's a great little video. All right. Okay, last kind of obstacle to new things that I want to look at for today, and then we'll move into some strategizing. Expectation of things being shiny and moving quickly with no bumps in the road. And then you start something, and then as soon as you start it, there is a bump in the road, and it's like, oh, this wasn't meant to be, or oh, this is going to be a failure. Oh, I can't, because it wasn't just all shiny and quick and totally smooth. Now, that's different than maybe what Stephanie was talking before, where it's like a lot of struggle and a lot of struggle and no flow, right? But again, I go back to just messaging, you know, from culture, things don't always happen. There are bumps, easy, right? There are bumps in the road. What I've found is that for a lot of us, for a lot of people, especially if there hasn't been a ton of hardship in their, well, I don't want to make generalizations. That's not fair. I don't know. Call me out on this. This is going to be another one of those things I'm going to say, and what we can, you can take it or leave it or make your own thing out of it. But like sometimes if you haven't had hardship before and then something is hard, it's like the first bump in the road or two bumps in the road, and then it feels too hard and you feel like you can't. And you maybe just want to give up. Let me know, you can just like raise your hand or in the chat if any of this is sounding familiar for you or clients or people you know. It's like some difficulty comes up and then it's just, you know, the energy just goes away. Like there's no energy for it anymore. Julia's got her hand raised.
Yeah, what I found was that for myself and for my clients, it was more that you work so hard to get yourself out of struggle that when the bumps show up, it's almost like one of those, oh my God, is this thing following me? like you're just so done, and it doesn't matter how hard you've worked, it's back there again. And these are people, myself included, who've been through things that you'd think overcoming that would be the badge. You discover that, no, you're now at the bottom of the regular line now. That was the trench. Now you're at the bottom of the line. Now you still have to go through this.
Yeah.
Which is a little different, but yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, I mean, I hear that you resonate, and also it's pervasive, whether you've had hardship or not, it's like it can come up so easily and quickly. Yeah. I see that happening for people, you know, in lots of different ways, hiring a new team member, and then there's a glitch and it's like, oh, this isn't going to work out with the team member, you know, just in so many different ways. Heather's saying, hold on. What is Heather saying? I think there's also an exhaustion that happens in life when the bumps come up from many areas. Yeah. And the desire for just one thing to go smoothly becomes stronger. Yes, I've been there. Elvie's saying seeing them as recalibration signals to up level makes us better and stronger. Michelle.
Well, for myself and my clients, sometimes there's like really fast growth and then they sort of hit that plateau a little bit where things really have to integrate. And something that's helped me is to think of it in two metaphors. One is like you're crossing the river and, you know, you're wading in and it's nice and you're getting cool and it's, you know, feeling good. And then you hit the current and then it's a little bit shocking and you have the choice to just go back to safety or just stay in it, knowing that eventually if you keep moving forward, you're going to get to the other side. And that's really helped a lot of my clients stay in that sort of unbounded state that they're finding themselves in, because they're not the old person they were and they're not the person that they're yet to. And just reminding them that, like normalizing it, like we were talking about before, like this is just part of the process of change.
Yes, I love that. And I love that image of the river. And it's using imagery like that and metaphors like that can be great ways to support clients, you know, in normalizing or whatever it is that you're working on, for sure. Yeah, and Rose is saying in the chat, seems like we're talking about resilience 100%, resilience and endurance, right? And that's one of the things that I think, you know, we want to support our clients with is how to build resilience, how to become more resilient people, how to become people that not endure to, in a way that isn't right. Like we're enduring so much pain, you know, for that because we're so strong, right? But to be able to be resilient, to get through, like Michelle is saying, the middle of the river, which is really deep. And it you know, you do just kind of have to get through it. Yes. Kim.
In my own life, I noticed that sometimes bumps, the same bump in a road, I can just fly over and don't even notice. And other times it's huge. And that often has to do with my capacity physically, if I'm not sleeping, I think my body tends to be in a different state or I'm overwhelmed by other things. And really beginning to look at that whole picture as opposed to the bump, that what's my ability to handle it or to get beyond it? And what's that based on rather than the obstacle itself?
Yes, thank you for bringing that into the conversation. It's such an important piece. And it's a great way that we can support our clients too. Like when we are, you know, I'll speak for myself, when I am exhausted or not well fed or have other things going on, a little bump in the road can feel like a big boulder. But when I'm taking care of myself and my well-being, I have more of those, the reservoir of resilience to get through the bumps. Like, do not underestimate whoever you're working with, whether it's in corporate, you know, a mom, like whatever it is, just the importance of the taking care of well-being to be able to have the resilience. Thank you. Natalie.
Hi. First of all, I just want to say that is really resonating with me. I think like when you're not rested and you're not taking care of yourself, you just don't have access to those resources that would, you know, otherwise like let you really be able to hold that kind of discomfort. But I wanted to go back to what you originally said, which it was kind of a bit hard to hear actually with if you haven't had a lot of hardship, then when difficulty comes up, you kind of bolt. And I feel like I've had a very nice upbringing. and not maybe a lot of hardship. So when difficulty does come up, I have, you know, bolted with relationships or like given up or feel like I give up like quite a lot actually. So yeah, the answer is for me, it's like really holding that discomfort. And I really like what some people have been saying with the like embodiment, like what does that feel like in the body to actually fail as well, like, and be okay with that? Is that okay to fail? And are you willing to be wrong and really hold that discomfort? Because I think I've been quite kind of almost protected from that as a kid. So
yes, beautiful. Yeah. Part of building up resilience is building up comfort with discomfort, or embracing discomfort.
Yeah, and being curious, like we were saying before, you know. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So glad you're bringing that in. These are all great. Let me see if there's anything else I had on my list that wasn't mentioned. No, you guys got it. So I'll share, I'll give you some more journaling questions on some of this as well for yourself around resilience and what that means. All right, the last thing for now that I want to just share about new things and this energy of stepping into new things is one tool that can sometimes be helpful depending on the situation is supporting your client to step into the energy, into that springtime energy. Supporting your client, and sometimes what that can look like, it can look like a lot of different ways, but one way for clients that are open to it is to connect into the kind of highest, healthiest version of their younger self, right? Ourselves in that springtime of our lives. You know, our young ones, of course, a lot happens in history, you know, to not always make this so, but in their highest selves, our young ones are curious, are experimental. They're not attached to outcome because the ego isn't there yet to be like, I have to succeed because I have to look good or it means this or that, right? They're just willing and open to, you know, I see with my younger daughter, she's just on the cusp now, 7, and it makes me so sad where, you know, some of that is starting to go away. But up until now, it's like, I'll do anything. And if I try, it's great. And if it doesn't work, it's fine. And, you know, like we're going, right? That young one that has that energy, that laughs at their mistakes, that's not obsessed with perfection or success, that sees it all as a big adventure and fun. So of course, this is the ideal young one. And for many people, this one has gotten buried under history. But that energy still lies inside of us. So sometimes it's also helpful to take a look at, you know, how can you access that one inside of you? Where is that energy inside of you? All right, let me pause here for now before we move on to strategizing. What are you seeing that's important around the energetics of new things? What are you taking away for yourself around the energetics of new things? We'd love to hear from one or two of you. What's most important here for you? Rose.
Well, I have to say I'm really energized by this conversation. And I think it comes on the heels of recently talking about wintering and realizing that I hadn't embraced that. I've been listening to the wintering book. I've been looking at harvest. You know, it's just these metaphors that you realize they're really real, and that you can't move. I don't think anyone can move forward until we deal with older stuff. I mean, that we acknowledge it. And so what I'm excited about is, I guess the energy of the springtime of new things. I can feel it in me that it exists. I still have things I'm working through, but that this, I don't know, maybe sounds so silly or so obvious, but it's the cycle of life. And I think I think I've done a lot of fighting against the natural rhythms of life. Yeah. And it hasn't served me. And I see some of my clients doing that. So it's like, wow, okay. So I'm just, I don't know, this has really energized me in terms of looking at myself, and I'm trying to sprout some new stuff, and I'm actually feeling it today. So just thank you. I just love your approach to all of this. It's just so deep and resonant. So thank you.
I'm so glad you're feeling that excitement.
Yeah.
Hey. Sonia's saying it's exciting and scary and requires the willingness to fail forward. Yes. Linda.
Joanna, just to echo what Rose said, ever since I clued in to the seasons and the rhythms and the feminine energy, like, it's made such a difference in my perspective for myself, but for clients and group work and that. I just totally agree what Rose was saying, the metaphors, but really taking it in. It just is a different feeling altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you're saying. When I train on shadow and archetype, one of the things that I share is that, you know, in like today's transformational industry, we tend to think of archetypes as types. Like, there's this type and there's that type, and which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But in its truest kind of Jungian, Jung is the first person to talk about archetype. In its truest Jungian sense, archetypes are energies. Mm-hmm. And all those energies are kind of out there in the collective, every single one. And we at any moment have the opportunity to consciously say, you know, I want some of that maiden energy or that young one, that springtime energy, and to consciously pull it down and to use it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just offer that, you know, kind of, hopefully it's not too much out of context for you, Linda, and anyone, just as we think about all of this.
Yeah. I can't wait for that part. But it's how you position and the contextual piece that you frame this is just, for me, it's just made all the difference in the world.
I'm so glad.
Love the way that you put it out there.
So glad. And Maya.
Speaking of energy following energy, I can feel a certain amount of, I guess, fear that has to do with the fact that if I haven't figured it out for myself, do I have the tools to offer to my client? It, of course, goes to like a lot of different bits, but this particular one where it is about starting the new things, it is about following through, it is about all of the different life cycle parts of the new endeavors that I'm sure we all go through, but if I don't feel like I got it, do I know how to support somebody else?
Yeah. How are you applying myth of perfection to this right now?
Yes.
Just having a little fun. so I it's like, so what you're doing right now is you're saying, because I haven't been fully successful, I just haven't at all, right? And it's become this. So if this feels valuable, you know, piece of homework I'd give for you, Maya, is to write out everything you have learned about new endeavors and getting things done and all the ways that you have been successful, you know, even if it's not the full, right? Like, what are each of the pieces? I have a feeling there's going to be at least 20 things on that list by the time that you're done. Okay.
Thank you for that. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. We're going to step into strategizing. We may not get fully through it, but I'll make sure that you get everything that you need on it. So we've got visioning, and then all of the stuff, the fears of the new things can happen even before the visioning. It can block the visioning, or it can happen as you're visioning in the middle of the process, or they can also happen once you've visioned, and then after you vision, you're gonna wanna start strategizing, talking about next steps to take. It can happen during the strategizing part or when the steps are actually ready to be taken, right? So it will be different. Sometimes the fears won't come up at all, and then you got lucky, right? And so did your client. But anyway, at some point after visioning, probably there's going to be some kind of strategizing, right? So creating a plan. So now that we have this vision, how are you going to get there? How is it going to be created? What's the pathway? I think that a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, part of our jobs as coaches, as practitioners, are supporting our clients to develop efficient, supportive, and enjoyable strategies to achieve their goals. So when we strategize with our clients, it can really run the gamut of pure coaching to coaching and consulting. When we strategize with our clients, it can run the gamut from pure coaching to a combo of coaching and consulting. So what I mean by that is sometimes it's really just going to be about holding the space and asking the questions for the client to come up with their own steps and make their own decisions about, I'm going to do this. I have a creative idea for this. I did this in the past and it worked, and I'm going to do this, right? Coaching. But other times, particularly if we have an expertise in something, like this happens for me, a client comes, they want support, you know, in marketing something or whatever it is, usually in the strategy part, I'm holding a combo, always what is best for them, full agency for the client, supporting them to brainstorm, see what they want, all of that. But I'm also bringing my expertise in on, you know, what some suggestions that I have. I mention this because sometimes, you know, back to what we were looking at, the difference between coaching and consulting, sometimes practitioners can just go into like pure consulting mode when it comes to strategizing, and that's not fully supportive for our clients. I don't think I have to say more on that. Let me know if I do. Yeah, you guys get it. Okay. Okay. So let's talk about the elements of a good strategy. What are the elements of a good strategy? So I'm going to share some pieces, and you'll get handouts on all of this. I'm going to share some pieces. And as a reminder, always coach the what based on the who. You're not going to always need these pieces, right? Like, it's an art, not a science, all the things, right? But these are some of the things that I have really seen are elements that really support creating a good, effective strategy. So number one, obviously a clear goal. I shouldn't say obviously. So sometimes what you'll vision with your client is the goal that you're going to be working towards, like a new program that they want to launch and fill, a new team that they want to create, a new job, you know, in their career that they want for themselves, a new romantic relationship that they want. So sometimes the vision is going to be the goal. But other times, if you'll have gone out a little bit farther in your visioning, you know, this is the business that I want to create, you'll want to first kind of hit on, like, then from there, okay, so then what's the first clear goal? Maybe the first clear goal is 3 clients, or could be something else, right? But having a clear goal. The difference between the vision of like becoming a yoga master versus the first goal of mastering a headstand. It's too overwhelming to just create a strategy for becoming a yoga master, right? But less overwhelming to create a strategy for that headstand. Sometimes, a lot of times, another element that you're going to want in there is a due date for the goal, or an accomplishment date for the goal. By when is this going to happen? Now, sometimes that is not good for a client, right? Always coach the what based on the who. It will create too much pressure, or, you know, whatever it is. But a lot of the time, having a date, a ballpark date, a month, so a due date, Catherine, that's a good piece to work in there. By when do you want to master this your headstand? When you have the date, it can also help you understand a bit more about the flow of the action steps that are going to be taken. Another piece that I have found to be really helpful when creating a strategy is getting clear on either a guiding feeling or a belief. So for example, as I learn how to do this handstand, as I learn how to master the handstand, I want to keep on coming back to the feeling of curiosity, or I want to do this with a sense of courage. Or as I do this, I want to believe that my core is strong enough to support the headstand. Or the belief I want to come to is, if I fall, it's okay. I'll get back up again, right? So having a little bit of a guiding light, if you will, by way of a feeling or a belief. So often we jump into tasks with only the task in mind, but not the journey in mind, right? And what is that quote? Like, I don't know, the journey is as important as the end result, or I don't know, whatever it is. But right, like, it's like we're spending time getting to that result. It matters by way of quality of that time, but also if we're intentional about how we want the quality of that time to be, it probably will help us get to the result in easier ways or better ways. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. Baby steps. I am, my Virgo nature is to break everything down into small, tiny, doable, easy components. So when I was a student, like when I was in high school and college and in grad school, I was literally, and you don't have to get as crazy on this as me, by the way, but I'm just showing you the most extreme you can see for yourself, or where your clients want to fit into this. If I had a test, like in college, you know, like first 3 chapters of the book test, and I knew the test was in 4 weeks, I would literally get clear. So the first week, I'm going to be studying part 1 of chapter 1, part 2 of chapter 2, and part 1 of, you know, whatever it was. I literally, what are the smallest baby steps so that this feels doable for me, so that I can like go at this at a pace that feels right. And I do that to this day. If I have a big project, a small project, whatever it is, you know, for example, you know, launching a new program, I will get down to the granular, not so much that it's overwhelming, like whatever the next step is. Maybe I'm going to do a preview call for that program and I will list out the 10 things that need to happen for that preview call. And I will even list out the days that I'm going to do those 10 things. Now, again, for some people that might be crazy making, anxiety making, but I just throw that out there as a thought. I like to call it blueprinting. And I'll share more on exactly how I blueprint. Maybe I'll make a little bit of a Facebook Live on that, but for now, think about what are the small baby steps or the smaller steps. And then the other element, well, so the other element is markers or celebration moments built in. You can either build that into the strategy in the beginning or as you're going, but really knowing, you know, when I accomplish this, how am I going to celebrate? What am I going to do, right? Or take myself out to lunch if I can get this done. Doesn't have to be for every little step, right? But kind of building in some celebrations there for some clients can be really motivating. All right, let me pause there for a moment. Any questions? I'm just looking through the chat. Wendy's asking, with a big vision, will the client choose a goal that might not be the next best step in the process? Does this happen? And if so, how do you redirect or guide a client? Such a great question. Yeah, that absolutely can happen. So I'm going to ask all of you, if you're working with a client, they've established their big vision, and then the goal that they say, you know, that first step goal that they say, you have a sense that maybe it's not, maybe it might not be the best. How would you handle that? Vesica, is your hand up in answering that question, or is that
separate.
Okay, I'll get back to you then. How would you handle that? Bruce.
I think one of the ways to avoid that conundrum is if you get them to list out all the big steps first, not just asking them what's the first step, but list all the steps.
Yes. And
a lot of times people will see what they've said isn't really the first thing if they can see all the big steps.
Yeah, I love that. Great. What are all of the steps? And then prioritize them from there, put them in order from there. Great. Anyone else? Any other thoughts? Okay. I love what Bruce said. I think that that's just totally practical and a great way to go. I'm not going to add to that. I mean, you could, you know, depending on where that conversation goes, once they list it out, there may be some resistances in there. You know, maybe there's a fear around doing the first thing, or it doesn't seem big enough, or, you know, whatever it is. And you can kind of take it from there. But I love what Bruce shared as just a very practical next step. Jessica.
So my question about this, because I love that you're a Virgo. I'm like the opposite as mm-hmm. a Pisces. And I've had a lot of challenge with this, and I'd love to know your experience because I know we're all different. And what I've gotten really good at is thinking I can get all the steps of what needs to be done, but I find that I think I can do more
than I can actually do. And so then that causes me to feel completely overwhelmed because I'm not following this plan. And then I collapse and I don't get anything done. And then there's like a couple weeks gone by and I try it again, re-put everything back in my calendar, and then it happens again. And this has been a pattern because I don't know, you know, I don't know that I'm as fast as some people, but I'm very almost like present with everything that I do. So this is, how do you guide somebody like me, or, you know, knowing that people are so different and how they get things done? Because this has been a challenge. So thank you.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I really get it, not only because of clients, but because I'm married to a Pisces. So you can imagine what our house is like. But one thing, and I'll go through kind of all the pieces of blueprinting. First, I just want to say, because I know we've only got a few minutes left, I'll answer all questions before we're done. But there are a number of strategizing pieces we didn't get to today. So I'm going to not do a Facebook Live, but I'm going to just make probably a 20-25 minute video for all of you so we can get through all the pieces. I just want to, so you know, to look for it over the next week. A couple of pieces. So one is, sometimes blueprinting isn't for everyone. What I've found with clients is some of them love it right away. Some of them hate it and then eventually come round to it anyway. And then it revolutionizes their lives. When I was younger, I was in the museum world, my career. And I remember the very first exhibition that I was responsible for, I had to create a budget, and I created this budget and everything was and how much it should cost to a T. And I remember sharing it with my supervisor, and my supervisor said, "You got all the items. This is great, but I want you to add 15%. To each of these costs." And she said, "You always need contingency." And that was one of the smartest things that this particular woman ever said to me. And I think, you know, same with time. So when I even do this for myself, if I'm doing something and I guess that it should take me 45 minutes, like to say to write a draft of an article, a newsletter article, I'll put in contingency time. I will give myself more like an hour or an hour 15, sometimes even more, or I'll give myself two sittings instead of one for each of the action steps or some of them. And that, and same with clients who are not, I am Virgo, but even ones who are not. And so that's, I think, something that could be really helpful. The other thing is to maybe not blueprint all of it out, to maybe just blueprint a week or a couple days at a time. There might be something about the smaller, like the real smaller blueprint goals that will help you check them off in a different way. Anything in there that might be helpful for you, Vesica?
Yeah, that's all helpful. And how do you, because I find that I speak to other women too, who feel overwhelmed. So now I'm starting with this overwhelm, like I'm behind, I have so much to do, I put too much on my plate. How do you help somebody in that situation, like myself and other people where, okay, great, I can start now, but I'm starting still feeling overwhelmed. Right? Because now I'm like making it smaller and I'm already behind.
Yeah. So it's such a great question. And I mean, you know, it depends on the person, but one thing is just first normalizing, like what you're talking about. I'm sure at least half the people here are nodding their heads in understanding, you know, most things do take longer than we think they will. Most of us are behind. I mean, I can tell you 100 things I'm behind. You know, it's so first just really normalizing it. We're not robots. We're human beings. We each have our own paces. That's one thing. Speaking of paces, part of what I'll share for the rest of the strategizing for us to look at is we each have our own natural paces, and I've like identified a couple of different ones. And so when we can really get to know what our pacing is, that can help with all of this. So that's another piece, having compassion for yourself and kindness for yourself, another big piece. And then looking, you know, really asking, like asking yourself, or if you're working with a client, what is the type of environment that you need? And by environment, I really mean anything. What is it that you need in order to not feel so overwhelmed? What is it that you need, or what is it that you need to know? And identifying those, and then seeing, you know, how many of those things you can put into place.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I know that we're over time, and I want to acknowledge that. And so of course, if you have to go, some people already have, but if there are one or two other questions, I'm more than happy to hang on and answer them. Are there any other questions that want to be answered today? Maya.
Hello from another Pisces. How do you deal, or rather the question is, I suppose, if somebody sabotages their own plans, would that fall under resistance, or is that, yes, right?
Could be resistance, could be fear, could be, you know, myth of perfection could fall under that. I always hate to say we're going to get there, but we're going to do a module on resistance. We're going to do a module on fear. We're going to do a module on beliefs, on self-sabotage. We actually have a class on self-sabotage, you know, so we're going to, like, this is just the beginning, like the, and we're going to kind of get to all of the pieces. I promise. All right, everybody. Thank you for today. Sorry that there's going to be a little bit extra for you to listen to, but I'll get that to you over this next week. I think you'll love it. Let me know what you need over the next week, and I'll see you soon. Bye.